Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, I'm super excited to have our first guest from off the North American continent, Peter Brewer, all the way from Brisbane, Australia. Peter, tell everybody hello.
Lee, it would be inappropriate if I didn't actually say g'day.
That's right. Do all your favorite Crocodile Dundee pieces, because we know Americans think that is exactly what Australia looks like. And we know Australia is only as big as, like, Maine.
Well, it's nice to see you here in Australia, Lee. Thank you for coming down and spending a bit of time in the beautiful Down Under. Nice to see you.
That's right. I did forget to mention this is filmed on location. Recorded on location. But if y'all could see, you'd see it's really pretty in springtime here when it's winter at home. But anyway, Peter, tell everybody what you do in relation to real estate that gives you a crazy story to tell us.
Lee, I'm a crusty old real estate. I've been part of the real estate fraternity down here in Australia for about 35 years. From a salesperson who came up through the ranks to running one of the franchise groups to now being, you know, I speak a bit to the real estate industry down here. I'm on the board of the Real Estate Institute of Queensland. I'm just one of those guys that you can't shake off. I love real estate and I love our industry.
I could say that something to do with your age and the crusty old man part, but I was going to hold off on that and save that for later.
No, I think let the insults flow freely early.
So before you tell your story, I have to give you the ground rules of the podcast, right, which are no F-bombs or GDs, because I'm allergic to that, but anything else is good, except no names, so that only guilty parties can identify themselves. Everybody else will just shake their head or drop their jaw in amazement.
So I can't swear, so this could be the shortest shit story ever.
You can tell a shit story.
Oh, okay.
You just can't use a bad cuss word.
Oh, I can't use the cuss
words. In my world, those words are bad, but other words are just really just salty.
Okay, cool. So, Lee, my story goes back to the early days of my real estate career, and it kind of relates to perseverance in this business, the stuff you got to do to get the job done. And it goes back, I started selling real estate over on what are called the Bay Islands here in Queensland, Australia. There's a series of about three or four islands just off the coast of beautiful Brisbane in the state of Queensland. And I did my time learning how to be a real estate agent over there. It was really hard slog land at those days back in the early 80s. That's the 1980s, by the way, not the 1880s.
That's like a whole different century. Wow.
But I did my time selling real estate over there. Land we were selling for around $4,000 to $7,000 for a block of land. So it's pretty cheap stuff back in those days. But it was all about perseverance and doing stuff the hard way. We were selling land on each of these Bay Islands. They were kind of almost uninhabited islands. And we had an old dumpy car, like a crappy old car, on each one of those islands. And we would get people from the mainland, put them on the taxi boat. We'd take them from island to island to island, trying to sell them these blocks of land for between $4,000 and $11,000. If you didn't get them on, if you didn't sell them a block on island one, you'd take them to island two. And if you didn't get there, island three, you'd try and sell them there. And island four was sort of the last ditch. Let's hope we get them there.
So you're trapping your buyers by taking them off the mainland, and they need to buy something if they ever want to get home again.
I think trapping's a really harsh word, Lee, don't you?
Capturing?
We were giving people the opportunity.
We do talk about lead capture.
We're giving people an opportunity to make a choice, you know, an informed choice. Anyway, so we had these dumpy old cars on each one of the islands. And like, you know, most of them didn't have windows and they're flat out getting. In fact, we even had blackboards on the roof of each car. You know, today's land special, X, Y, Z. So we'd get off the taxi boat, get people on board into the crappy old car and drive them around the island. And I had this lovely old Greek couple. They're probably in their mid-60s, maybe 70s back in those days. Got them in the car, round island one, no luck. Drive around island two for like, you know, an hour or two, still no luck. Island three, no luck. We're going taxi boat to taxi boat. We finally get to island four, and I'm absolutely going to sell these people a block of land. We get to island number four. We get in the car. I turn the car on, key it over. Finally, it turns over, and I select P for park, which is not P for pass, P for park. Sorry, D for drive to start this car, and it won't go into D for drive in this automatic car. It's stuck in reverse.
Oh.
This is pretty tough. This is 4:30 Sunday afternoon. The next taxi boat is at 5 o'clock, and it's the last taxi boat to take you back to the mainland. Otherwise, you're staying there for the evening in a dark, mosquito-infested island.
Vacant lots, right? Vacant lots of land.
It's just me and this Greek couple. And so we jump in the car and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I can't walk them around the island. I've got 30 minutes to sell a block of land to these people. It's island number 4. And I thought, it's stuck in reverse. What any good salesperson will do, we're going to persevere. And so I reversed this lovely old couple around what's called Lamb Island. It was hilarious because I had them, the two of them, sitting on the back seat, facing around, looking through the back window of the car as I reversed the
track. Scared out of their minds.
And it was hilarious going to say, so the block that's on your left, which is actually my right, is XYZ dollars. And this little old Greek lady, she was laughing and chuckling, oh, beat the US, that's your party boy. Well, the moral of the story is I sold them a block of land. They were that enthralled in my enthusiasm and passion. We actually drove back. We reversed back the taxi boat. Jumped back in the taxi about the last one of the day at 5:03, went back to the mainland, signed them up on a contract, property sold.
Luckily, it was the days of a one-page contract, right?
It was kind of the days of a one-page contract. We actually filled it in on the bonnet of the car back on the mainland, or you would call it the hood. And so that's for me. So you've got to, whatever it takes is what you've got to do. So reversing this lovely old Greek couple around Lamb Island in the beautiful Sunshine State on a Sunday afternoon says you've just got to do what you've got to do.
So did you keep up with them after the purchase?
I did, actually. I sold another block of land on Russell Island the next year because they bought another block for one of their other children.
But they didn't tour to pick up that one, did they?
We couldn't cope with that again. So I think there's a great lesson. You know, we put all sorts of hurdles in front of us and say, oh, we couldn't do this, we couldn't do that. Well, you know, there was no decision. It was like, I spent the day with these people. I'm going to sell them a block of land and they're not getting out of here until we do the business.
And, you know, it's hard for today's realtor to remember what it was like in the days before cell phones and fax machines and email and websites, because you couldn't sell them something electronically back then.
Oh, no, that was
and
that
you're
was it.
What, not going to call for help or Google how to make the car start.
There was none of those things. It was just, how am I going to make this happen? You were left to your own devices. Say, I need to make a deal. And I was, you know, pretty keen and pretty hungry for a dollar those days.
Which, in that part, is actually not changing in real estate, because your best realtors today do figure it out no matter what the weird, random circumstance is, and they make it happen at the end of the day.
Lee, I could have, you know, mopped my brow and walked back to the boat and said, I'll be in my trailer, and, you know, I put on all sorts of a turn. I could have made all excuses, but I reckon the boss would have had me for, he would have had me for supper if I hadn't gone back with a block of land, because the expectation was you would do the deal.
Well, that's interesting. So today's broker is less focused on sales numbers, in my experience, and more focused on more agents in offices. Now, that's, of course, the average broker, not all, because some obviously treat the job differently. But your broker had an expectation of results.
Absolutely. That's what you're paid to do. You'd be there to do the job. We had great stock. We had great training. We had an expectation, and you should deliver on exactly what you need to do. You know, this isn't a business that we can just sit back and take it easy. And if we're serious about looking after people and doing the right thing by our sellers, let's get the job done.
Now, all of my episodes are under 15 minutes, and since we still have a couple of minutes, I do find it to be interesting some of the ways that Australian real estate is so different than real estate in the U.S. and Canada, one of which being that y'all don't have buyer agents. So at the time that you were taking this Greek couple from island to island to island, for whom were you actually working at that time?
I was acting for the seller. So in Australia, the seller pays the fee. The seller pays the commission. And in that stage, we're talking, you know, as I said, those blocks were between $4,000 and $11,000. So we're talking at that stage of about, you know, I don't know, $1,000 or something rather, but the seller pays the bill.
Seller pays the bill now, too,
In Australia, it's buyer beware. You see, I don't understand the U.S. model. You know, ultimately, if the seller's writing the check.
They are.
If the seller's writing the check, then, you know, then it is a case of buyer beware. Now, a buyer can pay a third party if they choose in Australia, and we're starting to see a little bit more of it, but you're paid to represent, and it's very clear here in Australia, you know, to a buyer, I am here to get the absolute best dollar that I possibly can for my seller. And if you choose to be unrepresented as a buyer, that's what you choose to do.
So at your advanced age and with all your years in the business and the fact that being a consultant and instructor, you've seen a lot of different business models across different countries, Do you think that a consumer buying a property, regardless of where they're buying it, mm-hmm. should they have their own representation or should they rely upon the agent representing the seller?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. Well, you said regardless of where they're doing it. Well, I'd say in Australia, it's the psyche and expectation that a buyer will do their own investigations. And in Australia, there are so many resources for a buyer to make their own investigations.
But I moved to Brisbane from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I don't know all those resources. What would I pay out of pocket for a buyer agent today in 2016? And if I were moving here, would you say, hey, Lee, you ought to find yourself an agent?
I would say to you, well, first, the first part of the question is, if you're coming from somewhere, you would pay a buyer's agent who was going to act for you or who would do the research for you. You'd pay them probably around 1.5% to 2% of the value of the property, or you would go and talk to a friendly neighbourhood suburban lawyer or conveyancer over here. I'm not sure what terminology you would use for that here, and they would explain to you what the rules are of buying and selling real estate in Australia. And that would probably cost you in the vicinity of probably $500 to $750.
So yes, you would recommend I do it, or no, you would recommend I
do it? No, I'd be telling you to go and do it. If you had no idea about the way the process is here, then I'd suggest you go and get it done.
So with that being said, because now I'm trapping you into a corner.
Go for it, trap me.
Wouldn't you agree that most consumers have no idea what they're doing when it comes to real estate? Because with the advent of Google and the internet, they have tons and tons of information, but they don't have the expertise and knowledge to necessarily protect themselves and organize all that information.
Oh, I'd agree. I think most of it, there was a buckload of information, but there's so much crap information. And so let me throw it back to you. I think there is a massive, massive opportunity in our industry.
And a need, right?
For us as real estate agents, realtors, you whatever the word is you want to use in your country, for us to start educating people on the process. You know, you and I get or got to do this stuff daily. You know, we'd sell houses every day and lease properties every day. We know what the process is. But I reckon most consumers don't really know what the process is. So whether it's by videos or checklists or a range of stuff, we could make ourselves absolutely the trusted local advisor if we were to take that information that's sitting in our head and stick it on our websites and stick it in videos where people say, you know, wow, Lee Brown is the person to go to because they get this stuff. But for some crazy reason, so many people in our business don't want to share that stuff. Trust me, folks, if they don't get it off you, they'll go and get it off somewhere else.
So thank you for your input and for accidentally answering my question the way that I wanted you to answer it. So if anybody's listening to this podcast and has a need for an amazing broker consultant, agent consultant, trainer, speaker in the real estate and sales space, how can they find you?
Oh, you're talking to me.
Well, I have to be nice because you're so much older than I am. I'm respecting the age.
And you're staying in my house, Shirley. People can get hold of me at thatpeterbrewer.com. Now, let's not confuse. That's not fatpeterbrewer.com. That's thatpeterbrewer.com.
There's no judging or fat shaming here on the podcast. There's no video involved.
Give us a call if I can help you. Love having a chat. We'll catch you up at Inman or one of those great events. Hey, Lee, great to see you, and thanks for coming and spending a bit of time with us.
Thank you for showing up on the show and being the first Aussie on the show, and I expect some more will follow in your illustrious footsteps. And if you're listening to the show and you'd like to contact Peter, I will include all of his information in show notes if you happen to be driving or sweating through the oldies while you're listening. And if you are a realtor, inspector, investor, lender, vendor, or a consumer with your own story about how life can be crazy dealing with real estate and looks nothing like you see on HGTV, shoot me a message and I would love to feature you on the show. If you talk about us on Twitter, you can use hashtag crazy shit and I will make sure to retweet you and say hello because I appreciate it. Subscribe for more episodes and we will see you every Tuesday and Friday at noon. Thanks, Peter. Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.